Okay. I'm sorry that many of you could not make it yesterday. Hopefully, Hanukkah is next, and I thought, although those who are there will confirm, a good time was had by all. So, okay. Anyway, we are up to the third Tosfos on the page. On the sugya, I'm going to read quickly, and then I want to spend more time on the others. Some of you did, at least a couple of you did, have a problem with the reading, and it always amazes me how one can read a text one way and then you can develop a completely legitimate alternate reading which makes no sense, which is why you read it and you just can't understand it. When the Mishnah Sechem says that Nataf may wrote fall acheres and chazar elav yitol es makoma, what does it mean, yitol es makoma? There you go. How many of you read that Tosfos? That's not what it means. They said wash it. He told us Makomo.
Oh, no.
Now, okay, so
that's
somehow.
Like
Rob Chavez. What's that?
No,
it's a different meaning of the word.
Yitol.
What's that? Yitol means to remove, to take.
Take its place.
Kedei Netila is a shear that's thicker than Kedei Klipa. Klipa is to scrape off the surface.
From,
see, now you don't feel so bad.
Exactly.
It comes from no tell.
So the truth is, I realized I would never have read the text that way. I don't know. I guess from context, the toast and so on, I don't know why. But the truth is, it's a perfectly literally plausible reading, but it's just not what it means. Yitol es makomo, and I did mention this earlier at some point in Shir, that this Yasu Kulo is the biggest deal, then Kedei Netila, then Kedei Klipa, then you have to do Hadacha, and then nothing. Those are sort of the various, you know, breakdowns. Anyway, it's just very interesting. You could have such a reading. So anyway, Shmuel said, Kol efi ocha at shemagi elegid. So Tosa says, Lav davka at shemagi elegid mamish. And in fact, Tosfos says not only klipa, not just kidei klipa, but even kidei netila. Now, clearly, I think from context, it would tell you that if you have to do yitol es makomo and it's not enough to do klipa, clearly washing does not get off as much. If you want to avoid the best way to get the pesticides from the outside of a fruit or a vegetable, is to peel it. Now, there may be health downsides, the loss of, you know, some of those nutrients, but bottom line is, kidei klipa removes more than rinsing something off. And obviously, netila is something more than klipa. So, velo sagi beklipa. Imlo nechalik, deshema rotev mispashet yoser migid. Maybe by carbon pesach you need kidei netila, but by gid here, maybe you only need kidei klipa. Umiyolo ashkachan mishumakom shie sagi letzlib leklipa. The Tosa says, you never find a case on Shas where Sli, klipa is enough. Okay? The lo matzino klipa on this kerosene and sli, ela beketsa tzolin, becham la toch tzonin, the shumul amar kolef, the tata gavar, ad the maker le bala, so the only one particular limited case, it's a gemara that I do have to explain, even though I can't really explain it. There is a machlokas in Sachin. No, let's not do it now. Not a good idea. But the bottom line is, there's a particular unusual case where you assume that it's only a klipa. But in all other cases, you wouldn't say such a thing. It's possible that in our case, as opposed to the case in Pesachim, that roteach tzli is bolei atfei, and kidei, the klipa would not be enough, kidei netila would be necessary. And then he quotes a case from Kalabasar, the common pair of Kalabasar, the Amar Rav Hahubar goes all the Nafala Gukada, the Kamcha, it fell into a jar of Kutach, which is a milk dip. It's not pure milk, but it has a lot of milk in it. The Tzli Boy Klipa, so Tosa says, you see that Tzli only requires a Klipa. There Hasam no, Afila Bitsonin Ivy, is even when they're both cold, the Mishum de Bar Yona Rakich Tuva Ubala. In other words, because the chicken meat, and the flesh of the bird is very soft. And even when it's cold, it's simply, and it's porous, obviously, and you put milk on it, it's going to be absorbed. And that's why you require kidei klipa. But if it actually were hot, kidei klipa would not be enough. So it's a Mishnah later that says you can put in one sack, you can put cheese and meat, but they should be touching each other. The Gemara says that what's the big deal if they touch each other? After all, they're both sonanim. So who cares? They're not going to be balea. So the Gemara responds by saying, Nihi, granted, Umashani nihi the klipa lo boy hadacha mi lo boy. So the fact that they're not hot, so the Gemara says it's true, it doesn't require klipa, but it does require hadacha, and you don't want to have to do that because someone might eat it without hadacha, they might forget. So you see from that Gemara what? You see that if it were hot, what would you need? Kidei klipa, not kidei tila. So Tosa says that la mishum the tzli sagi lebe klipa alahachi karma nihi the klipa lo boy kima b'cham atoch tzonein. He invokes the Gemara Pesachim. In other words, it's saying it doesn't even reach the level of tata gavar, where you require a kidei klipa, hadacha mi lo boy. That's a very, very dochak teretz. But okay, we're going to come back and revisit this issue. V'chein ha da'amar la'el b'perakam d'laman da'amar b'esa shchita roteach kolev. If you use the sakin shel isa to shech the animal, you have to peel away, you have to do klipa on the base of shchita, you couldn't eat that part. Shani hasan de shamnunis shel ha'sakin davramuadu k'naminu b'perakei tzatzolin. The amount of shamnunis that's left on the sakin, typically when you cut things of isa, is so small that it's not enough to asr more than a klipa. But ordinarily, when you have tzli with enough iser, it asrs more than a klipa. The sacho b'shemen shel truma. I'm sorry. Sacho b'shemen shel truma chaburas kohanim yochlu v'imshay Yisrael and slihu yiklo fasachitzan mefarish afin lemandam atatagavar shani sicha demashu avdile. Even if in principle you would hold that the entire thing should be aser, even if you hold tatagavar in that case, in which case the entire thing should aser, should be nesar. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, because there's so little amount, and when you do sicha, you just base that a little bit, therefore it's not balea more than a klipa. So you see from that Gemara and Pesachim that when you have a very small amount, even tzli is not going to be mavlea more than a klipa, and that's how you can explain the case of the sakin by the base hashchita. But in principle, Tosus thinks that when you have tzli and you have blios, it goes beyond kidei klipa, it requires even kidei netila. How much is kidei netila? I think they say k'ovi etzpa. Okay, a klipa, literally, you could scrape away the outer surface, and etzba is, depending on, can be pretty thick, and it certainly is a substantial amount cutting away from the outside. Okay, fine. So, bottom line is, sometimes you need hadacha, sometimes you need klipa, sometimes you need netila, and sometimes the entire thing is nesa. Okay, now. Afilu meirosh ozno. Can I have a reader here? Dylan, go ahead. So chaylev, where is a lot of the chaylev found in animals?
The center.
The insides and the back.
Okay.
And the back. The reason why, I was told by Michael Kastner, the real reason why, what we don't do for the Git Hanasha, the reason why we don't have hindquarters in this country and we don't have filet mignon, it's kosher, I mean, kosher meat, is because, so that I knew, they sell them all to the non-kosher slaughterhouses. The reason is, it's not so much the Gid Anasha, it's the Chelev. In order to get the Chelev out, the Gid Anasha is more limited, I think this is what he told me. But to get the Chelev out, you have to basically tear it up so much that it's just more profitable to sell it to the non-Jewish slaughterhouses. I mean, it might be good for chopped meat after that, but it's not going to be this beautiful filet mignon that you want to serve on a plate whole. So that's why they don't do it, because they can afford to not, because there's such a large meat market for non-kosher meat, it's not a big deal. So a lot of the chaylev is in the back. So Tosfos says that the reason why the Gemara says afilu meirosh ozno, you cook a gedi bechelbo, so the chaylev is towards the back, and even though the rosh is so far away, it's as far as you can get, nonetheless we say that the chaylev works its way that far. Now just one question I want to throw out before you continue, Dylan, I really should have thrown this out first, and we're not going to answer it in this Tosfos, but when Shmuel said that if it's nitzla ba kol afocha shemegi legid, okay, Rav Huna is going to say that a gedisha tzlo b'chalbo is aser, right? Even me rosh asna. So here's a question for you: what about bitul b'shishim? Meaning, let's say you can measure the amount of chaylev in the gedi, and it would turn out that you have shishim in the meat connected the the chayla. So what should the din be?
Wouldn't you still have the issue of Eifati Klemas and Mavila?
No, the chayla that you see, remaining on the outside, obviously you have to cut away.
Right.
But in terms of the time that it would put inside the meat,
right, wouldn't it make that meat, though? Wouldn't it make it as if the entire thing was what I...
No, what if you have shishim in the meat, can I get the chayla? Why should you say Eifati Klemas and Mavila there? All right. What's that? No, this is b'di'evad, g'disha tzlau b'chalba. Not solon g'di b'chalba, but g'disha tzlau b'chalba. Clearly it's also to do l'chatchila. So, but let's, I agree, you're not allowed to do l'chatchila. What if you did it b'di'evad? What if you did it b'di'evad? So what would you say?
It sounds like it's mutar.
Okay, maybe it's mutar. Well, file that away. But right now, we assume that when, in this case, you can't even eat from the earlobe. Afila meirosh azno. So shirachuk menachelev, despite it being that far. Now he continues. Go ahead, Dylan.
So the lab dafka mishum derosh hagadi lemata b'sha shetzol and also b'sha food b'tanor.
So it's not because the reason it's also not because the head is down, you know, is directionally down, and therefore what happens with the chelev? It drips down. No, apparently the assumption is it's not that it's dripping on necessarily on the outside. It's migrating through the inside. Okay, I'd imagine that I'm surprised that really the diffusion would work so well on the outside. I understand, but okay. Tosa says it's a process of called diffusion, and despite the fact that the typical way, how do they roast a kid whole? The answer, even though that normally they would roast it with its head down. So how do you know that? So he says the chain derech kidemash reish ketzat solon. Go ahead. So what is the case in Ketzat Solim? It's a very Matthias Balabatish issue. So you spit's interesting. I don't know if you use the verb that way, but maybe you do. But if you impale the goat on the spit, so how do you do it? So it says that the way you do the shpud for the Karban Pesach is you stick it in through the mouth and you have it come out based nikuvasa, which means the anal opening.
The other end.
Okay, fine. And in doing so, how do you do it? So you make sure that the wide part of the spit, if you want to make sure it doesn't fall off, what do? So you take the wide part and you put it, it's the last part in. So basically it's too wide for the mouth, and you're doing that because apparently the gidi must have been on an angle, and if you don't have the wide part by the mouth, the gidi is just going to slide down. And therefore, what you do is you put the wide part of the spit there, and when you stick it in, the narrow part goes through, but it's sort of stuck on there, and that makes sense only if you're being tzol of the gedi head here, like this, not being tzol of the gedi like this. So Tosu says, if you normally weigh is to be tzol of the gedi like this, so the truth is the chelev would drip down. So you might think that that's the reason why it's asur lecha afila meirosh asna. So Tosu says, not so. He says, Ella, he says, don't say that, but lav dafka, Ella filu. It migrates upward. The ha.
So the hot sun and the talk
the tata gavar.
So
there's a machlokas in the Gemara, which way blios are more likely to, one substance is more likely to affect the other. This is the Gemara Masechet. One shita says ilah gavar, one shita says tata gavar. Tata gavar means that if you have sonein, something cold that falls on top of something cham, so if you say tata gavar, it means the cham is going to aser the entire upper thing, because the tata, which is, let's say, iser cham, is going to have an impact and flavor the entire upper thing that fell upon it. That's if tata gavar. If you held that ilah gavar in that case, I think you hold it's only oser kedei klipa. Okay, that was the Tosis alluded to in the previous Tosis. If you say Ilah Gavar, the result is the exact opposite. So if you hold Tata Gavar and the Isser is below, now it's not that the two things get mixed together and all mixed up. It's that they sit in contact with one another. And again, don't ask me about the physics of this or the science of it, but what we say is that the Isser Asers going up the entire thing, not just Kadei Klipa, which means whatever that's there in the Isser has the power to go against gravity to Aser the Heter. Okay, so Tosa says the same thing here. Even though the chela might be below, and the rosh of the gdi were on top, still the chela migrates upwards. Just like according to the man, the Omer, tata gavar.
So much, you know, Kishmok and Basa Harbe, Menechon Begige, Utamin Fatika,
Dennis, so before you continue, what was really on Tosus's mind? There are two parts to this Tosus. I think I may have asked you a question. You know, what is the connection between the two halves? It's obvious, but I wanted you to think about it anyway because it's easy to get lost. Which is what's the whole point?
The
very practical shaila that Tosus has, because that's really what was troubling Tosus, of the communal practice, which was, as we'll read in a second, when you had a piece of, when you had meat that was soaked in, that was salted, and what would happen? What happens when you salt meat? Mitzias.
It causes
the blood to extract, and that blood drips down, and the blood is going to pool. And sometimes what would happen is normally what you want to do is in what do you salt a meat? Ideally, you salt it in a kli menukeves, a kli with hole on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So the blood drips down. But what happens sometimes it gets plugged up or something like that. Now you have a chaticha of meat sitting partially. Some chatichas might be submerged in the blood.
So
the problem that they had was, so it's because of that very practical issue that the minhag was, and Tosus will say this in a second, is they would take the meat out and they would chop off the part that was in the blood and throw it away, but the rest of the meat was okay. So in light of what Tosus just said, he has a problem. Masha Nagu, go ahead. So that's the minhag. You salt a lot of meat, put in a gigas. Sometimes part of a chaticha is stuck on the bottom. Okay, it winds up in the blood. So what they do, they cut off the bottom and eat the top. Below amrinan. Why don't you say the dam is mefapeh lamala and asur the entire chaticha? Now again, remember that the dam, before the dam, where did the dam come from? It came from the inside of the meat. So ask yourself the question, what's so terrible? What do you consider mefapeh? It was there in the first place, so some of it goes back in. So the answer is, so dame varm shelo pireish is mutter. Only if it hasn't been poresh from the meat, it's mutter to eat that way. Once it's poresh from the basar, then to go back in asers. So in this case, why aren't you concerned about the dame mifapeh? So Tosa says, hey, Shlomar.
Here, one second, are you?
It's not just no Saint Tom. Dam is also no Saint Tom, but the point is that if I have dam here and I have basar there, it's not no Saint Tom in the basar. It has to get there. So the fact is that one might have said on one's own that the chaylev asers the meat just around the chaylev a certain amount, because, especially when you're roasting it, so you don't have a liquid which sort of envelops it and transfers the tam and distributes it throughout. So if I have chaylev only in one place and I'm roasting it, so I would have said that probably just the meat, a certain shear around the chaylev asers. So the chiddush mifapeh is that no, the chaylev somehow migrates throughout the entire piece of meat.
Which means that it's not the
same time, right? Correct. But mefapea refers to the process of, I don't know exactly the etymology of the word, but it's sort of like, I always imagine like bubbles its way through.
It means like crumble, according to Jastrow.
Okay, I mean, I assume it cognate with babuin, which are bubbles. So I'm assuming like it bubbles its way through. That's the way it's no Saint Tom. In order to be no Saint Tom, you have to come in contact. How does the chaylev come in contact with a piece of the meat on the other side of the world in the animal? The answer is by being mefapea.
So for the moment,
firstly, the blood you may not be able to taste in the meat anyway, because even when you salt meat, there's probably, we call it meat juice. You know, I don't know what the difference between meat juice and blood is, except for just in the amount and how intense it is. So I'm not really sure that it's Esher Litom. And they certainly weren't being mocked into a guy. So basically, if you assume that the dam spread back out through the chaticha, you're going to assume that it's us. You're not going to have shishim. The chaticha can negate the dam. Now, in theory, if you were to be able to meat, you wouldn't be able to do it. By chaylev, you might be able to taste it better.
Because chayla, you can probably taste the difference between meat, which is really juicy, and meat, which is a little, you know, less tender, because it didn't have the fat. So, but in, so I'm not denying that in principle, but let's assume for whatever reason that you can taste it, or in fact, the assumption is if you taste it, in fact, you would taste that it's asr. So I agree, you're asking, what, just walk into the laboratory. So Tosis is not working with that assumption, because he assumed that you just wouldn't be able to. So, he says, Yesh lomar the ain. Mifapeya. Okay, so dam is not mifapeya. In other words, and he's going to point out el adam adraba. Right. This is a general assumption which is important. It's probably mostly true. Is that blood? You know, is that when the ask what happens when the blood comes out of the meat? What happens to it? It drips down. Well, maybe in the process of dripping down, why don't you say it gets absorbed into the meat? So the Gemara says that dam mishrak sharik. It's the property of dam that it just sort of flows past down past the surface. It doesn't tend to get absorbed unless you cook it in the dam, so or soak it in the dam. What? Is there a question?
When you salt it, it would take out. So when you salt it, just totally alters the diffusion gradient. So it doesn't flow out, but it won't flow back in because the gradient is still. This would still cause the blood to generally go out, flow out.
The Gemara assumes that even in cases where you're not dealing with salt. In certain heating cases. In other words, when you're heating the liver, for example, and the blood might be dripping down in large quantities even without salt, the assumption is that dam mishrak sharik. So I can't, I have no experience in this in practice. I've never seen a liver, and don't deal with these things, nor have I seen the salt in meat, but that's the assumption the Gemara works with. I assume on some level it has a real connection to Matzias, just because they did it regularly. So the point is that the dam mishrak sharik shnof abasa v'lo mimel derech halichas on the way down. Okay, so problem solved. The dam is not mifapeya, and that's going to be an issue that comes up in the next Tosus as well. In Shani, that are all things mifapeya or not? Okay, but we'll get there in a little bit. Now Tosus has a problem. Our friend is about, our friend Hanan is about to stick his head into the discussion once again. Yeah. Your question or no? Just one comment. Thank you, Abigail, for pushing me to do a little bit of research and having done a little of his own research. Rabbeinu Ephraim, who's quoted here again, and interestingly enough, Rabbeinu Ephraim is quoted in about somewhat a little under 50 references in Tosas and Shas through Rabbeinu Ephraim. He is not Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Talmud of the Rif. He is Rabbeinu Ephraim, almost all the cases of Regensburg, who was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and one of the occurrences, it happens to be he asked Rabbeinu Tam a question. Interestingly enough, of the, 47, 48 cases, 23 of the places where he cited are in Zvachim and Chulin. I suspect that has less to do with what he studied and more to do with who the Tosus on Zvachim and Chulin actually are, but I don't know. And he was also referred to as Rabbeinu Ephraim Hagibor. Okay, I don't know, was he a martyr? Do you remember? So anyway, so that is, so he's simply one of the Baalei Tosfos of Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, what's that? Oh, you think it's Rabbeinu? It's Rabbeinu. There's one place in Tosfos. It's possible. In one place in Tosfos, he's referred to, or one of them is being referred to. There's a reference to Rabbeinu Ephraim ben Rabbeinu Ephraim Hagibor. So I don't know, and Orbach seems to think that the place to look for this, by the way, you should know, is Orbach's Baalei Tosfos. It's two volumes, and there's an index. There are many indices, one of which is by the Baal HaTosos. So he has a whole section on Rabbeinu Ephraim of Regensburg. But he thinks it sounds like Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's the father who's the student of Rabbeinu Tam. So I don't know who Hagibor modifies. Okay. That's the old question of Reuven ben Shimon HaKohen. Who's the Kohen? Okay, and if you say, what's the difference? The answer is, what if the son's a Chalal? Okay, so anyway, so now we've got a problem. What's the problem? Hatikha Nasis Nevela rears its ugly head again on us. And go ahead. So now Tosu says, Vafilu. Masha Chutz Latzir, how? Demifapeya. So what's Tosu's question? What's the problem? What's that?
The fat drips it on the sides. The fat should be gone.
The fat in the part of the meat that's submerged in the blood, which we say is aser, is nesar. If you say chaticha nasas nevela, that the fat is now iser, not just that the fat contains tam dam, so then the fat should migrate upward in the piece of meat, and that should aser the entire piece. Why? Because the fat was nasas nevela. So Tosa says you don't say that. Why not? The fi masha mefarish.
The fi masha mefarish harav rabbeinu Ofra. And below shayach, but tika atman nasas nevela ella bebasa b'chal.
So in other words, if you hold, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela. So what if the shuman, not chelav? What if the shuman in the meat migrates upward? What's not going to migrate with it? The dam. So the shuman migrates. So it's only problem if you assume that the shuman atzmo is nasas nevela. So if you're like Rabbeinu Ephraim, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela, no problem. But Tosh says, even if you do, if you don't hold like him, v'lav hachinami.
V'lav hachinami, kevan delo efshar ha'isar li'pasha chutz l'tzir, shari delo minam, chaticha ha'atma nasas nevela, v'osar es as kol chaticha os ela b'makom sheha'isar ha'am.
So what is this? This is a really, really, really important line here. It's extremely important. In fact, ooh, I realized we forgot something. I didn't explain something in Yoredeish here. The Yoredei guys have to remind me on Thursday. I didn't talk about when the Ramos said, or the Mechaber said, when a Dover is Nesar Mibnei Atzmo, as opposed to Machmas Tavarchai. I got lost in the train of thought, forgot to talk about that. But there's a principle, let me give you the following halacha in Siman Tzadi Ches and Yoredei, which is that we say that a Milsa Davida Lataima, if a Milsa Davida Lataima is not Petela. So if I have salt of Isser, and I put in 1/200th of the pot in volume of salt, and I can taste that salt from here till whatever, it really adds a lot of flavor, and I can taste the salt. So the din is it's not batel, even though you have more than shishin. Fine. What happens if the salt was usur because it absorbed blood? It was used for salting meat. So what's the din then? So what was implied in Yoredei, and I forgot to talk about earlier, is that you don't say that just because you can taste the salt and say that the salt is nasas nevela, therefore, since you can taste the salt, the entire tasha is also. No. You only assume that milsa david l'taima is not batel b'shishim if the iser is osir machmas atzmo. But in this case, the melach is only osir because the dam that was nivla in it. And therefore, if you can't taste the blood in the tavshil because it's misbata b'shishim and there's no tam dam, then you don't, just because the tavshil is salt there, so you don't say that it's aser. And that's essentially the principle that Tosis is enunciating here. That you don't say chaticha nases nevela if the iser in the first place could never have gotten there. Meaning there's no way, even if you say that the chelev at the bottom of this meat, the shuman is nesar and nases nevela because of the dam. And theoretically, if you were to take the bottom piece of that meat, which contains 1/10 dam and 9/10 basar and shuman, and you were to throw that piece of meat into another pot and cook it, how much would you need to be mevatel it? 60 times the dam or 60 times the meat? If you say chaticha nasas nevela, 60 times the meat, still, you don't say, despite that, you don't say that since the shuman is nasas nevela, and the shuman can now travel upwards in the meat, that asers because of the nasas nevela. Nope. If the dam can travel upward in the meat, then you don't say chaticha nasas nevela for that. That's what Tosfos says. So he says that if the lo efshar iser lispashet chutz litzir, shari the lo amrin chaticha aser nasas nevela voseres as kol chatichos. It's almost really an internal issue. In other words, within the chaticha, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela unless the original tam of iser can actually spread. Now why? Dumya de tipas chalav. Why? What does this mean? So I think it's pashu. Explain this? Someone explain this analogy?
Hmm.
No, but there we do say in principle if it asers it first, chatich hanasas nevela. What is Tosas saying? Dumya de tipas cholov. How is this similar to that? What? What if the milk? Who says? No. Who says the maybe milk isn't in fapeya?
No, the milk's
so,
on the top. The milk falls in.
What
on
is
top.
The din of the following? What's the din in the following case? A tipas dam falls on a piece of meat, or you know, a little more than a tipas dam on part of a piece of meat. You cut the meat in half then, after it's cooked, and you give half the you give the guy to taste, and he tells you that in one part where the milk fell, in one part, you can taste the milk in the meat, in the other part you can't taste it. What's the din? The part that you can't taste in is mutter.
Even according to the Rambam.
I don't, by Basar B'Chalav, there's no difference between Mechaber and Ramah on the Chetich Nas Nevela. I don't know if all we've shown him agree to this. I'm not aware anybody's Mefarish Cholei, but I think it's Mukhrach, that if part of the meat doesn't have the flavor of the milk, that part is not Nasis Nevela. It's only the part that has the palm of Basar B'Chalav. The Raya, effectively, is from the pot itself. If you have two pieces in a pot, and one of them gets the flavor and the other doesn't. There's no din that you say both are now us. So it's only unless the first one is nesar for long enough, and then that flavor of the first one asers of the whole chaticha asers the second one. So then that's a different issue. That's you've already said chaticha asers available. But before you've asered anything, if the milk that falls in, and now it falls in, it cooks for a little bit, and you stop the process. If it didn't flavor what the other pieces of meat at this stage, the other piece is mutter. So it's no different within a chaticha itself as well. If it only gave tam to part of the chaticha, Tosis is assuming, I think this is clear when you think about Tosis' analogy, that the rest of the chaticha is muteres. Why? Why is the rest of the chaticha muteres? Because the tipas chalav did not flavor the rest of the chaticha. So by the same token, and that's the makor for chaticha nasis nevelas basa b'chalav. So by the same token, when you have part of the chaticha which is nesar, which has the chaylev in it, but it's only nesar, why? Because the tam of dam. So if the tam of dam cannot reach the rest of the chaticha, it can't be more chumer than the tipas chalav, which doesn't reach the rest of the chaticha. And by tipas chalav, the principle chaticha nasas nevela is doraisa. Here it's, even for those who hold the chaticha nasas nevela, by non-basar b'chalav isurim, it's drabanan. But even for doraisa, it's still no better than tipas chalav, which is the marker for chaticha nasas nevela. So that's what Tosfos says, duam yeh the tipas chalav. The dam cannot be treated more chomer than the tipas chalav. And the tipas chalav didn't flavor part of a chaticha. You cut that part off, it's muta. I mean, obviously you only know it because a guy tells you or something. And the half that is mutam with the chalav is asur. So the part that's mutam with the dam here, that's below the liquid level, so that's asur. That's asur. Jonathan.
I used to tell
someone
that you're saying, even though esher,
correct. In other words, because blood itself, the blood itself can never work its way up. It could, but if it didn't, it wouldn't be asur. What? He's assuming that. And so I gave you the analogy to two pieces of meat in a pot. Now, what? There's no chatila nasa. There's a very funny shita. See, if you don't go through this step, when you read Rav Lezer Mimetz, you think he's coming from another planet. Tosfos just dismisses him, and you think, you know, what was Rav Lezer Mimetz thinking when he wrote it? But as you start to articulate what Tosfos himself actually says, so what does it mean, chaticha nasas devela? Is chaticha a halachic category? The chaticha, the answer is Tosfos is, of course not. Right? That's exactly what Rav Lezer Mimetz says it is. Right, and he claims that chaticha is this conceptual category. But Tosfos says, what are you talking about? If a tipa falls on part of a chaticha is an arbitrary unit. It's not arbitrary in the sense that when you get flavor in one part, it's going to faster transfer to the other part. But from a purely halachic, theoretical, conceptual perspective, even though the chaticha is joined, you can have two parts to a chaticha. And if there's no time in the second part, well, that's not basar b'chalav, only the half that is flavored with the milk. So that's why Tosfos claims what he does. Yeah, Jason.
So the cutting off of the bottom or the head, whatever's at the bottom of the spit, would be when you're roasting over a fire, would be equivalent to the mixing, the agitating of a piece of meat that
cutting off. No, the problem is that the chaylev, which is what's usher, right.
spreads out throughout. The chaylev has the capacity to flavor the entire thing, the assumption. So chaylev is mifapea. Dan is not mifapea. So if the chaylev is mifapea, it's the chaylev is usur because it was part of the chaticha, which was nasar because of dam. But the flavor of the dam is not going to work its way up because the dam can't travel. The chaylev says goodbye to the shuman. It's shuman, it's not chaylev. The shuman says goodbye to the dam as it travels throughout the piece of meat. It doesn't carry the dam with it. So despite the fact that the shuman might now be usur because nasas nevela, it does not have the power. So the bottom part of the piece of meat, which has the shuman and the dam, whatever else in it, is asura. You don't say that just because the chaylev can flavor, if the shuman cannot flavor the rest of the meat with dam, it doesn't usur the rest of the meat. What?
With dam.
I mean, if the tam hadam cannot get up there, the fact that the shuman can travel there doesn't matter. That
so
doesn't usur the meat.
So why do we cut off the bottom?
Because the bottom part was soaking in blood.
Oh, so it can go with the dam.
It can't go with the dam, but the bottom part of the meat was soaked in dam. That's like being cooked in dam. That's like kavushka mavusha. But the rest of the meat, which was not cooked in the blood, if you want to call it that, because it wasn't heated and it wasn't soaking in the blood, which is the din of ishul. So the only thing that can work its way up, maybe, you know, through the salting process, would be the shuman. But the shuman itself doesn't carry down with it, and the shuman itself is not usur per se.
So this would only be in a case when you are roasting.
What's that?
This would only be in.
No, this is a case where you're salting it. Your salt. The problem is not the salting anymore. The issue is not salting being like sleep. The issue is that the bottom of the meat is sitting in blood.
You salt it first.
Yeah. What happens? You have this meat sitting in a gigas in a barrel, and you salt it, and the blood starts to drip down at the bottom. If the holes get plugged up or something, you don't have holes there. The blood accumulates, so the bottom part of the meat is soaking in blood. And when you soak something for a long enough time, it has a din of mevushal, kavushka mevushal. So the bottom part of the meat is asur. Normally, when you cook meat, it's hard to get one part hot and one part not hot. But because this is not heated bishul, you can have such a thing.
But even in a case when it would be when it's covered from bishul and you're going to cook it later, and where the blood would be drawn back out by the cooking of heat, it still doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
If I were to salt and the blood gets hot, and it's considered covered from bishul, just because
the bottom part of the meat, yeah.
Even if, so I don't cut it off and I take it with me and roast it, and now all the blood is drawn out by the
I suppose if you draw I'd imagine if you keep the kosher part on top and you roast. I mean, that's not the case of them. If you keep the kosher part on top, theoretically the blood should just drip down. It would be mutter.
So we don't really need it. Why would we need it? Are we eating meat raw? Why would we need to cut that?
Because that piece is usur. That piece has reabsorbed dominant.
I know, but we're not eating it like that.
I know, but it doesn't matter. Once you reabsorb the dam, you know, resalting it doesn't help you.
No, not resalting. I'm saying cooking is...
Cooking doesn't help you. That doesn't remove the isur dam. Salting and roasting over, you know, where it's not accumulating at the bottom does not remove an isur dam. It extracts dam that's mutter. Once dam gets absorbed, that's usur, it doesn't help you.
Is
that a general call for the lachon? I think so. Yeah. Otherwise, if you cook meat in blood, there's a simple solution to it. Just roast it and it'll be mutter. But no, we don't say that.
Okay.
Josh?
This is an aside according to Rav Kuna about the chaylev. It has nothing to do with no saint tam. The assumption is that the whole animal is usur because the chaylev is spread. Is that
yeah, and you can and it flavors it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you wouldn't take it, let's say, to a goy or whatever?
That was Arya's question. Theoretically, you should be able to take it to a goy.
But according to Rav Kuna, it wouldn't. Would matter and
it would matter, but he doesn't talk about chayla, but he would probably just say that there's enough chayla there that the guy is going to tell you it tastes very juicy.
But it is a function of it time is a, and it, not just a separate.
Right now, assume it's absolutely a function of time. It's not a separate than chayla. Shalom?
I thought chayla is one of the cases where we can't distinguish.
Hold on. You're touching a very important button. Right now, assume that you can taste the difference. Firstly, the Shulchan Aruch, the opening Shach and Taz, which I didn't poo-poo, but I just said, okay, it's a detail, it's a very important detail, where they both point out that the Mechaber assumes that Chela and Basar are two different Tamim. Okay? There are we shown on the Sugi who may assume not so, but this is a very, very important point. Okay? Because the specter in Min Bimino, you know, could come back to haunt us. Not in Psak Halacha, but in terms of Peir Shach Gemara. Okay. In light of that comment that I just made, that this is a... is that Tosaf says that the chaticha is not a conceptual unit, It's just the physical unit, and if half the chaticha hasn't absorbed and half has, you only asr the half that's absorbed. So Tosa says, by the same token, by the half a piece of meat that's stuck in the dam, if the dam can't flavor the other half, then we ignore it. Because the whole model of chaticha nasis nevela is based upon the tipas chalav shenafal abasar. And just as the tipas chalav can only asr that which the chalav asrs, that flavors, so too the dam can only asr that which the dam flavors. Okay, next. What happens now? And this is the now you get Rebbe Lezer Metzushita, which is unbelievable now. But first, Tosus has a great raya. It's a brilliant raya. Teda.
So teda, the v'chol makom she'eno osrin k'dei klipa, amai ain't also k'dei klipa. Poza ve'osrin masha chachlu ve'inyan.
Masha etzlo. Uve'inyan zeh.
Yasser
akol. So what is this called? It's called the domino effect, right? How can you ever say that something tzli only osrin k'dei klipa? Because if you roast it, and let's assume you roast it not a short time, a long time, then it's still only osir k'dei klipa. But that klipa has a friend next to it, the next klipa within the meat, and it has the next klipa. So why doesn't one, you know, osir systematically? Now, if you hold chaticha is not nasis nevela, so it's not a kasha, because the sum total of isir is whatever isir you had to start with, no matter where it's distributed. So the further it distributes it, so maybe it's less of a problem. But... if you assume chaticha nasis tevela, so immediately what happens is the outer klipa is nesar, not just whatever the tam eser is, but the klipa itself, and that klipa should asar klipa, and eventually all your meat's gone, everything, or all your heter is gone. So you don't say that apparently. Elahainu taima.
Klal.
Because the tam of the original iser never travels further than the klipa, and therefore we don't say chaticha nasis nevela in a place where the original tam could never have gone. Okay, now what does he quote from Rabbi Lezer Mimetz? This is the Baal Sefer Yireim.
So the Rav Rabbi Lezer Mimetz haya mecholak mishum
Now, how does Tosus dismiss this? With three words. Ve'inzatam, which is a really funny expression. It's a double entendre, but I'm not sure if Tosus meant it that way. Ve'inzatam. Okay? What is Rebbe Lezer Mimetz talking about? So, I'll give you a first hint. He didn't write this on Purim after he had already drunk 13 glasses of wine. It seems crazy. It sounds like, when you first read it, it almost sounds like it's almost like a game. Chaticha nasis nevela. So it's only if it's the whole chaticha. What's he talking about? Now, in light of what we just said before, though, it's a little easier to understand where maybe Rabbi Lezer Mimetz is coming from. I mean, it's not exactly clear, but a little easier to understand. In other words, the assumption of Tosus was, the way to get around the problem, was that a tipas chalav does not aser except for the part that it flavors. And if it flavors part of a chaticha, not the other part of the chaticha, it's not the entire thing that's aser because of basar b'chalav. Now, Rebbe Lezer Mimetz says something which is still an astounding chiddush, and Tosfos may have reason for rejecting, but if you think about it, Rebbe Lezer Mimetz is really just taking that a step further. Rebbe Lezer Mimetz is saying, well, no, that's exactly the point. What you're saying, that what Tosfos is assuming may be true, but in effect for the wrong reason. He's saying that if the tipas chalav cannot flavor the entire chaticha, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela. He doesn't spell out in that context. And by the same token, you don't say here bechlau that the part that's below the dam is chaticha nasas nevela. Why? Because it's not the entire chaticha. Now, what's the nafgamina? Firstly, I know this is the different way of approaching it. What's the nafgamina between lemaisa, in this case, between what he says and what Tosa says? They both agree that you cut off the bottom half, right? And toss it. What's the nafgamina, Yehuda? What bit, give me. So it means if the bottom half of the piece falls into another pot, how much do you have to be mevato? According to Tosa Shivat, you say chaticha nasin stevel in the bottom half. It's just that it can't aser the rest of the chaticha if the dam can't flavor it. So in the next pot, chaticha nasin stevel, you have to be mevato the entire thing. Whereas according to Lezer Mimetz, since the entire chaticha wasn't nesar, although it's an interesting question, what happens when you cut it off
and now it is the entire Hatikva. So let's say you cut it off, but you left a little piece. Since when you cut it off, obviously you have to cut off part of the Heter with it, right? Because you can never be Metamte. So if you leave a little bit of the Heter with it, so it's not the entire Hatikva, it's not Sevela, you throw it into another pot. Well, then you only have to be Mishar based upon how much dam you think it was Voleaf. You can do such a thing. It's a practical nafkamina. But Rav Lezer Mimet, it's a monster chiddush. It's very difficult to accept because if he would really take this to its logical conclusion, what would you say by if let's say you had a case of a tipas chalav that flavored half of a chaticha and you didn't cut it off and you threw this into the next pot and you had, let's say it flavored half the chaticha and not the other half and you throw it into the next pot and the other pot of meat has how much in it? It has 30 pieces. 29 pieces technically. So what would the din be? Is it? But so now you have 30 pieces of meat, half of which of one absorbs some tam chalav. But now in shishim, the chalav would not be powerful enough, let's say, to give tam. So what would the din be? So according to Rav Lezer Mimetz, it sounds like you would say, you don't say chaticha nasnis tevela. That's one whopper of a chiddush. That's a monster chiddush. The whole point. You're saying that the chaticha, is it mutter or aser to eat the bottom half, to eat the half of the chaticha that got the milk flavor? Is it mutter or aser? It's aser. But how is it aser? Through what process? The answer is because chalav and basar, which were both mutter, came together, bad shidduch, and the entire thing is now basar b'chalav. How can you say you don't say chaticha nasas nevela? If you don't say chaticha nasas nevela, it's not basar b'chalav. It's not basar b'chalav if you don't say chaticha nasas tevela. That's the whole reason. The reason why most Rishonim say that chaticha nasas tevela only applies by basar b'chalav is because that's the definition of basar b'chalav. Is that, in other words, by when you have a taroves of iser b'heter, so basically it's aser because you can taste the iser because it's not batel. But it's not that. It's not that the you took iser and you took heter and now poof and it's now all iser. Fundamentally, it's not so. It's just a taroves that you eat, either because of lack of vittel, either because of tam. But by basar b'chalav, you start out with two elements that are heter. The chiddush of the Torah is that you cook two things that are mutter together, and now it's aser. Which part is aser? All of it. That's what chaticha nasas nevela means. And so, how can you say that you don't say chaticha nasas nevela by half a chaticha? So half of the chaticha has tam basar b'chalav because the milk was cooked with that. So you're not going to say chaticha nasas tevela because you don't have a chaticha shlema. Chaticha is a halachic status, certainly midoraisa. Is chaticha ever have a halachic status? Sure. Where does chaticha have a halachic status? Chaticha really the skabet. Yeah, but A, that's a din the rabbanon. And B, that's not, that's because of, in effect, our perspective on something that's a davar chashuv. It's not an inherent metaphysical status in the chaticha. It's the way we look at it. It's not what the chaticha is. That chaticha, when half of it is absorbed, the flavor of chalav, and half not, is basically, it's Siamese chatichos, right? Joined so well that it looks like one. There's the half that's not basar b'chalav, the half that is basar b'chalav. What do you mean, the chaticha? It's not the entire chaticha. It's very difficult. But you have to at least, I haven't really explained to you Rabbi Lezer and Matzah Shita, but at least you have to put that against the backdrop of what Tosis has just said. Tosis's claim was exactly the opposite, that when it comes to any particular chaticha, you don't say chaticha nasas tevela unless the iser can spread throughout the entire thing, just like by tipas cholaf. Okay. Difficult, difficult shita. Okay.
Could I just clarify
about yeah.
Shita?
Yeah.
How, like, he says that that it can't be just chaticha nasas tevela in part of it, but
right, so if, you know, as he says that in this case of the meat that was soaking in the dam, and the dam can't be mefapea, he says you don't say chaticha nasas nevela at all. Presumably, even on the lower half, the part that's in the tzir.
So, yeah, how does that, it wasn't clear to me when I read it that that's what he meant as opposed to, and therefore it should be in the whole chaticha.
And therefore what?
And therefore the whole chaticha should be nasas nevela.
No, because remember, Tosis, the way Tosis is quoting Rabbi Lezer Mimetz is to solve his problem. And they're all responding to a metziyastika problem. In other words, Minah Klal Yisrael of Ashkenaz was, they didn't ask for the entire chaticha. So therefore, why not? So Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, that's an answer to the question. So Tosis says, that Chanan doesn't count when the Isser itself couldn't spread beyond that. You only go to where the Isser could spread. Rav Lezer Mimet says you don't say Chanan if it's not a Chaticha Shlema. Shlema?
Does he explain it further in the Rambam?
I haven't looked. You can take a look. It's your homework. Okay? Karyana Digarta Hu Leve Farfanka.
What?
Oh, come on. You guys know.
An answer.
I can't hear.
Karyana Digarta Hu Leve Farfanka. Okay? Rashi and Parshas Pinchas, okay? Rashi and Parshas Balak, excuse me, on the Pinchas story. Yes.
I don't know if we can work it in at all with what the Reed says, the Reed of Ian. I'm not sure if I'm comparing it, but it's the apples and oranges.
Which Tosfos?
Ian. It says that three quarters of the way down the line for Tumra is there.
No, what's the Dibra Maso?
In.
Oh, I'm sorry. The first Tosis, yeah.
Sorry,
I wasn't. No, I heard it. I just couldn't. I didn't go think go back that far. Yeah, okay.
So, Ulurin Yer Kishav Asicha Dacho Haisar Lehi Miktus of Erote Below Ben Yenir Bechisar. So I don't know if that's.
There's no connection. That has to do with how the Tom how what the conduit for Chalav before it sets in for Nisar. How far does the chalav go, and how much can be mitzach l'vatel? It's interesting. Literally, they look the same, but I don't think they're connected at all. I don't think so. Okay. So now let's finish up the tosos. Ve'od teida. I'm sorry. Any other questions? Yeah. No, but the point is that they are arguing about whether or not the entire bottom part, which includes shuman. It's not says nevela. Tosfos says it is, but that has no capacity to aser. The chaticha nasas nevela only extends as far as the tam ha'iser itself could go. Within, let's say, within one chaticha, when part of it becomes nasas nevela, you don't assume that therefore the rest of it becomes because layer by layer by layer. But rather, within that chaticha, only where the original iser could travel. That's as far as you would say chaticha nasas nevela. So if the shuman, which granted the whole shuman that's left behind on the bottom, you're not allowed to eat. It's aser, but that shuman, if it were to go on a journey upward, would not carry dam with it, and therefore it doesn't aser. You're looking for tam dam, not tam shuman.
So what's
Rabbi Mech says no. He says you don't even say chaticha nasas nevela in that case. The only time you say chaticha nasas nevela is when the entire thing is flavored with the aser. So in this case, not only does it not aser the stuff that's on top, but he would say that the bottom part of the chaticha that's still in the sear, the brine, whatever it is, the salt bod, that is not nasis nevela, and presumably, he doesn't spell this out, but if that piece were then cut off, the bottom half, which we say is aser, if you were to throw that into another pot, you wouldn't, in order to be mevatel, you wouldn't need shishim kenega the entire bottom half, you need shishim kenega the dam that was nivlan, if you could be mashayim. In practice, it's not nachamina because we have no ability of being mashar how much dam it absorbed. But lo yitzu that you could, and you could. So then he would say that you don't say it's the nevela.
And Tosfos is saying that since the blood can't
travel up,
even though the shumar could, since the dam can't, so we don't say
that. Chaticha nasas nevela cannot be used to answer things where the original dam could not go.
And the first rabbinu of Brian, who said blow
he holds you don't say chaticha nasas nevela, period. As he would say, beferish, what Rabbi Lezer Mimitz claims specifically in this case, because it's not the entire chaticha, Rabbi Nofrayim would say is true l'chatchila. He would say, even if the entire piece of meat fell, what would happen? The nafkamina would be, what if the entire piece of meat was in the brine? So Rabbi Lezer Mimitz would say, in that case, it's chaticha shleima, and therefore it's nasas nevela. Rabbi Nofrayim would say, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela, except for by basar b'chala. Okay? Continue in Tosos. Finish it.
So the oh, so teda the ila of vila of tana haki tama haki enla basa muta the olam the hag kaim alan the call of basa ran nimla kisha shah
the milcho yoma yomayim
yeshva tam malach yosha the fila haki lo min on this.
So here's the basic problem. You leave meat in salt, and the brine can drip away, but what's the status of the salt when you're done soaking the meat in it?
It's usher. We assume it's balu amidam. So at that point, you have the taste, and if you leave the meat that long, you can taste the salt on the meat. The fact is, it's true. I mean, it's true. I'm told that kosher meat, although I'm told kosher poultry wins award, is saltier. Someone happened to know who was actually, I mean, I think he's still halachically not Jewish, but someone happened to know whose wife was Jewish and not, you know, came from nowhere, was becoming more and more observant, not Orthodox or neither yet, and wanted her husband to convert. And one of the things that, you know, that bothered him, I don't think this turned out to be a ma'akev in the end, I mean, it's probably a reform or conservative conversion, but was, you know, meat, which he likes, and kosher meat just doesn't do it. Because it's about one of the things about it is it's much saltier. So why don't you say that the salt that you can taste in the meat carries the dam back with it, and you say chaticha nasis nevela. So bishlama, if you say that they don't say chaticha nasis nevela, so the salt itself is not nevela, and all you're tasting in the meat is the salt. But if you assume chaticha nasis nevela, so the salt itself becomes nevela, and then when it flavors the meat, so now that now it should aser it. So Tosfos says ela tzarach lo mar mishum te'aval pi shenivla bebasar tam hamelach tam hadam. The taste of the blood that was in the salt, you don't taste. I mean, Tosfos, it's not nivla. It means you can't taste that. The salt you can taste. You can't taste the blood, and therefore it's not a problem. So it's a very important limitation, which only exists, I think, by chaticha nasas nevela when it's the Rabbanan. It's a very important limitation that Hanan does not work to go beyond where the original Isser itself could have gone. Moshe? Bottom line is the point Tosfos really is making is that regardless of the dam, you can't taste the dam. What you can taste is the salt. That's the only reason why we're raising the question, and the salt itself is not a problem.
The salt is not Hanan, why?
Because since the dam itself would not have the capacity to go back, and there's not enough of it, presumably anyway, to flavor the meat, so the fact that you can taste the salt doesn't mean that it's asr. Yehuda. Of course it is. If a milk falls in a meat and no one's there to taste it, does it leave a taste? No. Okay. The point is, if you can't taste the milk on the meat, it's mutter. Basar b'chalav. No. If there's not enough milk, that's what we always ask the shaylas. There's shishim. If the milk doesn't flavor the fleishik, or vice versa, it's not mutter. We don't say chaticha nasas nevela. It's only once it's no same time, then chaticha nasas nevela. And what you're saying, by the way, I don't know if I said this clearly or not, you picked up on something very, very important. The whole inyan of chaticha nasas nevela is only by tam. Meaning, let me give you the following case. Let's say one piece of meat falls into two pieces of, a piece of kosher meat falls into two pieces of treifa meat. What's the din? Mutar asar. Not a trick question, it's asar. One piece of kosher meat, two pieces of treifa meat. What happens if the collection of three pieces of meat now falls into two more pieces of kosher meat? So on the physical status, what is the din? How many pieces of kosher meat do you have here? Three. How many pieces of treif meat? Two. What's the din? Batel. You don't say chaticha nasas nevela by yavesh biyavesh. Why? Because there's no transfer of time. Nothing. It hasn't. The heter has not been transformed in that case. It's just that it does. It's just that it is that you don't have bitul of the isser, and therefore you can't eat anything of the tarovas. Your suffix is asr. But if should it work out now that those three pieces fall into two more of heter, and now you have a rove. So we don't say that when the one fell into two, the chaticha nasas nevela, and now it's a three against two. No, now it's a two against three, and the three wins. Yehuda, is it? So the whole point is chaticha nasas nevela is a function of ta'am. It's why when the Rama talks about it, he distinguishes between lach b'lach versus yavish b'yavish, because yavish b'yavish, your definition means it's never tam. It's discrete entities. Lach b'lach means something that blends together, so the flavor's been mixed. Or by basar b'chalav, when you cook one with the other, which is lach b'lach, but it's more than that. The one has imparted flavor through cooking to the other. So that's the only time you can talk about Chatecha Nasas Nevela. When you have the Yavesh B'Yavesh, except for if you're a brisker, or a conceptualist, or the Rush, if he's not, you don't say that the one has been transformed. You just say that the suffix is also. I don't know which piece is which. I can't eat it, therefore. One hasn't fundamentally changed the physical characteristics of the other. By a tarobis of lach balach, most of the time, and certainly when you have bishul, one does change the other. Right? In the first case, it's a piece of kosher meat, it's a piece of treif meat. I can't find which is which. In the other case, when I cook them together, the kosher meat now tastes like treif meat. So that's why you only say chatecha nasas nevela by, fundamentally, it's driven by tam. Okay? And so in a sense, when you think about that, when you put that together, Tosfos is saying that if the tam of the Isser, original Isser, couldn't go there, there's no chatecha nasas nevela. There's a sense of justice in that, actually. Right? Because if the tam of the Isser can never make it there, we're not going to say chatecha nasas nevela. I'm sorry? But the Ur case of Chatecha Nasas Tevela is Basar B'Chalav, which is Dafka Nesar Yidei Tam. It's a more restrictive Tam, Tam of Bishul. And that is the paradigm for Chatecha Nasas Tevela. I understand where Rav Lezer Metz a little bit where he's coming from, at least in comparison to Tosos. Tosa's whole point is that there's no halachic unit of chaticha. Rav Lezer Metz, if he really says this, takes it to its logical conclusion, would say, this is a remarkable chiddush, you can take this and run with it if you want. He would say that even by basar b'chalav, if half the chaticha was not flavored, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela on the lower half. You can't eat it because it has the tam basar b'chalav, but if it falls into another pot, it only asers kedei the chalav shabo, if it falls into a pot of meat. That's a remarkable, it's an astounding chiddush. I mean, apparently, to chaticha nasas nevela is that if I were to pull a page out of my Rebbe's playbook, I would say now, we know that called the tikkun rabbanon came the raisa tikkun. So where did the chachamim come up with the notion of chaticha haruya l'skaved? Since when is that a halachic unit that davar shemini lo batel? I don't think this is the case. You would say it's based upon the principle chaticha nasas nevela. That's a whopping chiddush. I would have said the reason why chaticha haruya l'skaved and all these things davar shemini are not betelim is because they have chashivos. So at least on the rabbanon level, they're not batel because they're too important to be gone. But you could turn Rav Lezer Metz, if he really says what Tosfos claims he's saying, and by all cases, he would claim, again, it's like, unless you say that's what's Los Vashel Gidi Bachalevi Mo, the Gidi is the Chaticha, and I don't know where else, but you'd have to say that. You'd have to say by Basim Chav, and that's a Wapra Chiddush. It's a Wapra Chiddush. Maybe he does. Alec?
Where's some of the
Yehuda made a lorbatel? If you really said that, that's a Yerubatel, right? No. That would be Rabbi Yehuda, it's the Reis. It's learned from Dama
Parv Dama Sayer. Okay, fine, but either way, we don't pass them.
Correct.
Okay, so we don't.
Well, who's we?
No.
So, X on your Debechinus. Sfaradim certainly don't hold that way. The only Rishonim who hold that like Rabbi Yehuda, are Ashkenazi Rishonim, Rashi and a few other, whatever.
We don't pass them like that, Rashi.
I know, not just Ashkenazim. Don't make that mistake, okay?
So if it's Minhumino, the halacha for us, what is the difference between the Yavash Allah and a Daraisa level?
None.
Okay.
Except on a Daraisa level, you need a higher percentage by definition in Yavesh B'Yavesh, because you're dealing with discrete entities, you always have to have one more.
That's not an afkamina. Not necessarily. I mean, you could have a 1,000 butter and 999 usher, and there would be butter.
And as the two approach each other in infinity, they turn out to be the same. Fine. Okay.
So it's only the rabbanon that we.
Correct. The only reason we usher lach balach by mimimino is exera atu min b'sheno mino. But in principle, there may be no such thing as a tarovas yavesh b'yavesh min b'sheno mino, because if it's yavesh b'yavesh and it's min b'sheno mino, you just pull out the one that, I have an apple, an orange, and a banana, it's a tarovas, and I mix them up. It was an apple shalisser, and I mix them up again, and a third time, and okay, well, it's batel chabetre. Of course it's not batel chabetre, it's not called a tarovas. So there may be cases of yavesh b'yavesh min b'sheno mino, but they're not very common cases, so there's no gzera on yavesh b'yavesh. There may be cases of min b'sheno mino by yavesh b'yavesh, but because they're so uncommon, there's no gzera by min b'mino of yavesh b'yavesh atu min b'sheno mino. Okay? Fine. Okay, so that Rav Lezer Remetz is you can play with and have a lot of fun with. But more significant in, you know, I don't know what you're going to get anywhere, spin your wheels, but more significant is a very important yesod in Tosfos that for chaticha nasas nevela, you don't say chanan, within certainly one chaticha, you don't say chanan if the isser could not travel that path. So chelev is mefapea, dam is not mefapea, and even though the shuman might mi mefapea once it's nesar machmas the dam and chaticha nasas nevela, the shuman cannot aser the rest of the chaticha. It must be the dam doing it. Okay. Now, let's take a look. Let's do the next Tosfos. We're not going to get to do, I think, everything on it. I don't think so. Did anybody here see the riff, by the way? The riff and the run? Okay, so you know what? So we'll come back to this Tosfos tomorrow. I want to do the short Tosfos now. I'm itching to do the short Tosfos, okay? So if not everybody's seen it, so I'll meditate for 2 minutes, and you get to look at that Tosfos, okay? Let me just chaz the Gemara. The Gemara is Stira. Shmuel said that if you're tzoleh the gid inside the yarech, it doesn't aser the whole yarech. Rav Huna said that if you're tzoleh gidi with its chelev, it asers the whole gidi. The Gemara's answer was shani chelev the mefapeya. Then the Gemara had a kasha, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that a gidi should tzoleh b'chelbo, he was not here. He said basically, kol fa'ochad shem agi l'chelbo. Maybe that means, it was like Shmuel's lasha. So the Gemara said, there's a stira to Rav Huna, and the Gemara gave an answer. Now, one thing the Gemara does seem to be assuming, that the Amoraim are all one big happy family. Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because in some ways it's not a kasha. These are not kashas, it's a machlokas. So the Gemara doesn't want to say it's a machlokas. The Gemara wants to say everybody agrees. So the Gemara says, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting Rav Huna is because Rabbi Yochanan believes, Rabbi Yochanan's case was kachush haba. It was not shamein, it was kachush. Now read Tosfos. Give you 1.5 minutes to read this Tosfos, and then we'll talk about it. What's kind of a problem?
Well, the last one, Ishbo not Chaylev, Vatel Vishishim.
Vatel Vishishim, yeah.
Yeah, that's a, that contradicts the Meirosho's no.
What?
No, it
doesn't. Rosh Azno case is where you didn't have Shishim to Mimimimimimimimimimim. Yeah. So the entire Gedi is Asr. If you had. Now, firstly, it's a little confusing. I had to read this Tosfos several times to figure out what the difference between the first and the second answer was. And the reason for that is because the word chelev as a form is ambiguous. Chelev kachush as an expression is ambiguous. What are the two possibilities for chelev kachush?
It's a separate type of chelev, or it's the chelev of the meat that's kachush.
So is the question, is chelev a nismach or a nifrad? Is it the chelev of a kachush, or is kachush an adjective? It is an adjective either way, but in one case, the chelev of a kachush, it's being used as a noun, a substantive. In other words, the big, right? The big. Is big an adjective or a noun? When you talk about the big, you know, or in the middle of a sentence where you say big have no trouble doing this, big ones, right? So sometimes the adjective takes on the property of a noun. So chelev kachush can either be the chelev of an animal which is kachush, or it can be chelev kachush, shva chelev. In other words, it's a very nebbish chelev. It's a very weak chelev. It's a very unflavorful chelev, which might be a product of an animal. What? What's that?
It's really comes from a kachush animal.
Right. It might be a product of the fact that the animal is so measly and thin. Now,
is there a category of that sort anywhere else? Chelev kachush?
No, I don't think so. So the question is, who kachush hava? Was it the chelev that was kachush or the gedi that was kachush? Those are the two deis on Tosfos. Why does it matter? In effect, what's the nafgamina between these two deis and Tosfos? And I didn't realize what theoretically the nafgamina might. I'm not sure what it would be. What it would be there. In other words, there might be a machlokas between these two deos, not just in how to farish the Gemara. But I didn't realize it until I saw something that the Ran quoted in the name of the Ra'ah. what maisa nafka mina might there be between these two? It's really also, and how I asked the question much earlier in Shir.
One would be saying that regular chayla would be mekafe, but chayla mekafe wouldn't be. The other one is saying that regular chayla is mekafe. And the other one saying the chayla prepared in an animal is mekafe, which is. It's just saying like
no, it's not that it's not. No, the second answer is not that it's not mifapeh in an animal that's kachosh. No, that's not the second answer. The second answer is that if the weak animal is not enough fat, so it's less than shishim. Yehuda? Let's say you had enough.
I'm sorry. Let's say you had a piece that was not bought from shishim. According to the first answer, so there's a shvach, it doesn't matter. It's not going to do anything.
Okay, so that's a simple nafkamina. It's a good nafkamina, and I agree that's definitely nafkamina. But I got another. The question is whether chaylev and a kachosh animal, which is probably going to be chaylev kachosh, whether it has the ability to spread. Okay? Is it that it doesn't have the ability to spread, or that you're not asering, or that it's batal b'shishim? Now, but I have a question for you. According to the second Deya in Tosfos, if you have shishim keneged the chaylev, what's the din? Of the entire, what is the din of the part that's next to the chaylev? So the question is, what kolif ochel means? The pasha's kolif ochel means how far can you eat? Maybe up until the chaylev. Remember when Shmuel said kolif ochel, Tosa said lav dafka. But in Rabbi Yochanan, it might be dafka. Because if you hold that it spreads out and it's bato b'shishim, then. Then you could eat the entire gedi kachosh. Whereas according to the first teretz, because the chaylev is kachosh, it doesn't spread out. It only asers a klipa. It's not mefapea, but the klipa is neseres, because it doesn't spread out to have the entire gedi be mevatalit. So far you guys have come with two good nafkaminas. One is, what if you didn't have shishim in the gedi? And according to the first approach in Tosfos, it would be still mutter the rest of the gedi. Whereas according to the second Tosfos, it would be Aser because you don't have Bittul B'shishim. And the second consideration is, what would the din of the Klipa be? According to the first Teretz, under all circumstances, the Klipa would be Asur, even if you had Shishim. According to the second Teretz, it might not be Asur. Okay. There is another opinion among the Rishonim. I asked you earlier the question, Gedi Shetzlo V'chelbo, a nice, juicy, fat, delicious-looking Gedi, and you roast it with its Chelev. What happens if you measure the Chelev and it turns out there was Shishim Kenegda?
What time?
What's that? I'm sorry? When you roasted it. Now that you met, let's say you were able to figure out. Someone had come along, had done a scientific experiment on the animal. It was an athlete animal, so it measured it. Somebody measured its body fat. Okay, assuming they could tell the difference between chaylev and shum, which they probably couldn't, but they measured its chaylev, and now you, by mistake, cooked the gedi without, roasted the gedi without taking the chaylev out. So the guy tells you, there's shishim and the basar, can I get the chaylev? So what's the din? This is Machlokas Arishon. Tosfos clearly in the second Teretz for sure holds. What would the din be? It's Bata B'Shishim. However, there are a number of Rishonim. I think the Ra'ah is one of them, but he may not be the only one. I think either the Rashba or the Ritva. I don't know if I give you a Ritva to look at or no? Just the Rashba. I don't remember if I don't think it's the Rashba. I think it's in the Ritva. Say, and the Ritva actually was a Talmud of the Ra'ah. Okay. Say that it's not true. Even if you have shishim to be mevatalit, here's a new category, guys. Even if you have shishim, it doesn't matter, because when a chaylev is mefapea, when you cook something with chaylev, the assumption is the chaylev spreads out evenly. But when you roast it, chaylev is mefapea, but we never know whether or not it's going to distribute evenly, and therefore you can't eat any part of it, because it may be that one part of it has more than the other. And therefore you can't eat from the entire thing. Right. Yeah, because you don't know. So in other words, if you knew that half of the animal, the chaylev never got there for whatever reason, Eliyahu HaNavi came down and told you that, so and you then you would say the other half is mutter, and when you mishar b'shishim, it's only the part that actually the chaylev is within. Could again? Nobody, the Gemara doesn't talk about whether you would really play the kfeila game. In theory, you should be able to play the kfeila game. Okay. But if we're not playing the Kvela game, since you know there may be a part, it's not that the Issu is evenly distributed, and therefore it is a batel, it is batel, it's not batel. Because you know that it's very possible that the Chelev is only in certain parts of it, on any particular part, we're Choshesh. I agree, but you can't taste it either. And Shishim is, instead of tasting, but tasting is not an option. Shishim is not Midrabanan. Shishim is just the way the Chacham will Mishayar when you can't taste it. Since we're Choshesh,
but
that some...
know there's rove, and you say Shishim is...
But the rove, the only parts that work... First, not rove. If you know there's enough to be Mevatel V'tam, but you don't know if it was Mevatel V'tam, because if the Chelev didn't spread out evenly, then parts of it are Aser and parts of it are Mutter, and you don't know without tasting it. In other words, when you want to mivatel something, whether it's tam or otherwise, by tam you know by tasting, but let's say you can't taste it. When you want to mivatel something, you're only mitzarif the parts that are b'chalal the suffix of the taroves. If something's not part of the taroves, right, then it, you don't, it's just not b'al b'cheshbon, whether it's lach b'lach or yavish b'yavish, right, for two different reasons, but bottom line, you just can't take that, you can't take that into account. So, if you say, that's, this is the, it's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. That's what the Ra'ah says. Now, clearly, the second day in Tosus does not hold like the Ra'ah. The second day in Tosus says that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan was matir chaylev kachosh is because it was the chaylev of a kachosh animal. Because it was the chaylev of a kachosh animal which didn't have enough chaylev, and therefore it was batal b'shishim. Clearly, and now Tosus assumes in the second teretz that such chaylev has the capacity to spread. It's just not enough of it. So Tosfos is assuming is that when chaylev is mefapeh, it's equally distributed throughout. Simple reading of Tosfos.
Can you say that the first answer of Tosfos matches up with the Ra'ah in the sense that if you read it as the chaylev of a kachush, the chaylev in a kachush does not spread around because the mitzvah is too thick?
It's not muchrach that he has to agree with the Ra'ah, but he could agree with the Ra'ah. He could agree with the Ra'ah. That's why I said you guys both gave two different nafgaminas, which were clear in Tosfos, and I'm suggesting the third might be between the two deos, whether or not chaylev of a shamein, which is batel b'shishim, is batel or not. In other words, if you had shishim connected the chaylev of a shamein, would that be nisbatel? It's not mukhraf because the first day is not explicitly like the ra'ah, it just allows for the possibility, whereas the second one for sure does not. Okay. But the most, yes, Avi?
Do we have to say that Tosos in the second answer really holds that the defendant had his evenly? It could be that
you
could say that he holds that it doesn't necessarily distribute evenly. Not true.
Your arithmetic is bad. It could be that three quarters of it is overly flavored and one quarter is not flavored at all. Right? And as you could,
it
doesn't.
Depends on the proportion.
Agreed. But the point is the postures in reading, Tosfos is not making any such distinction. It sounds like it's batel b'shishim, and that's why it's batel. Chaylev mafapeh, which is batel b'shishim according to the second parish, is pale. Okay, I want to finish with one point, but I will do Chazara at the beginning of tomorrow's year just to go over it quickly so you have a chance to digest, then we'll do the other Tosfos, and I don't know, I assume we'll get further than that, but I will give you some more direction in Makoros before tomorrow. But one last really, 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 really sharp comment of the Rashba, that when I looked at it, I looked at it and everything sort of clicked, and it was like, oh, of course I know why it's so important for chaylev and the tam, what the tam of chaylev is, whether chaylev and basar is mim amino, mim b'shein amino. So I mentioned earlier in Shir that when I first read the Shach and Taz, on the first sifkatan in Hilchos Tarovas, they talk about is that it's mashma from the Mechaber, not mashma, the Mechaber assumes clearly that chaylev and basar is not the same tam. It's called mim b'shein amino. They made a note of that, and they may quote some of the late Rishonim, we talk about whatever. So I said, big deal. I'm not that interested in this. Both here, I and the conceptualist really aren't that interested. It's a theoretical question. What is the same time? What's not the same time? You know, go to the Kvelas to figure out what that is. However, I realized, while that may be still true, the Rashba says something incredible here. The Rashba says, effectively, gives the first teretz of Tosfos. And he says you can't say the second teretz of Tosfos. You know why? Because what is the agenda of the sugya here? And this is about reading the Gemara. Shmuel said something. Rav Huna said something which seemed to contradict it. What does the Gemara do? It explains Shmuel's statement in such a way, it explains Rav Huna's basic din to avoid the problem of Shmuel. Then they quote Rabbi Yochanan, who says something in agreement in effect with Shmuel, looks like Shmuel's, and in conflict with Rav Huna, and the Gemara says, okay, we can make Rabbi Yochanan to work too, Chelev Kachosh. So the simple mashmas, you don't have to say this, but the simple mashmas of the Gemara is that Rav Huna, Rav Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan are one big happy family, and they would all agree by Chelev Kachush, the Chelev Kachush case is mutter. Is that? Meaning, most of the Gdi is mutter. What did Rav Yochanan say? He said, Kolef Yochel. What does that mean, Kolef Yochel? Well, simple reading is that you could eat everything. But even if you don't buy into the simple reading, you know, you could say the way Tosa says that you could eat almost everything. You mishayir kidei klipa. Now, why can that not be true according to the second Teretz of Tosos? The second Teretz of Tosos is that the Chelev Kachush spreads out, but it's not enough of it to aser.
You wouldn't need to kill anyone.
Oh, but then you could read the Gemara the other way, but you can't say that in this Gemara. Why not? So the Rashba works with an assumption, I don't know if he says it black on white, but it's clear, that Chelev and Basar have the same tam. So why can you not say the second Teretz of Tosos according to one of these Amoraim? You heard me say it. Shmuel holds what? Min Mino is never Batel, which means that Chelev cannot be Misbatel in Basar. Now, if you say it only that Chelev Kachush can't travel more than a Klipa, so the Rashba would say Shmuel holds it Asur's Kidei Klipa, but not more than that because it can't travel further than that. But if you assume, like the second day in Tosfos, that Chelev has the, even the Kachush, has the ability to spread throughout the meat, it's just that the shishin to be mevatel. Well, that doesn't work for Shmuel, because Shmuel holds that min bemino is aser. If you see, the truth is, if you say that tam chaylam and basar are two different tamim, that would solve the problem. The Rashba assumes, as do some other Rishonim, that chaylam and basar have the same tam. So for Shmuel, you can't say it's a bitul b'shishim on the whole thing, because that's min bemino. Min bemino is not batel. You can say it asers kedei klipa and nothing more. So the first teretz, that's why the Rashba says that only the first teretz of Tosfos works. Moshe.
Is there a reflection
of the Machlokas Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish here? No, but it's a Beferish Machlokas. It's not a Stam construction of what they held. It's a Beferish Machlokas Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan versus Rav and Shmuel. And therefore, you have to assume that the Amoraim, that the Nasadrim and the Sugya know that basic din. And even if they don't, we want to make it work. And therefore, Tosfos has no business giving the second Aronson.
Well, unless.
Agreed. So the way you could weasel out of it is to say, at this stage, the Gemara is only interested in solving the Rav Huna Rav Yochanan problem, but Einach and Ami Shmuel would disagree. But that's strange. And Tosfos of all Rishonim shouldn't be doing that. Tosfos is the Osa Shalom Bimromov. Okay, that's what Tosfos likes to do. Shalom?
I mean,
don't know. But I'm so struck by this Rashba because I would have just completely forgotten about the whole issue of Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan. But the Rashba kept all the balls in, he's juggling all the balls in the air and he kept them in the air without dropping them. I dropped the ball here.
Does this work?
I may have been brainwashed by the Mechaber and the Shach and the Taz that Chelev and Basar is Mimishen Amina. But I think even if you told me they had the same time, it still wouldn't have clicked for me.
Does this work generally? That Chelev and Basar are Min Mimino?
The Mechaber does not pass in that way. But the point is, even if it weren't, there'd be a bigger kula. Mimimino is more kal for the Mechaber, but not for Shmuel. For Shmuel, Mimimino was also B'masha.
Okay.
So tomorrow, I will, at the beginning, firstly, anybody has questions on this, you know, it was a little bit much at the end, so you'll come approach me. And tomorrow, I will try to just briefly chazer, if you had a little time to digest it. Everybody should be finished with these toasts and by tomorrow. And Shir will be at regular time. Okay. Then.
We'll do a half introduction, whoever's...